You're taking this time to invest in your spiritual life, in your walk with Christ, and your relationship to your Heavenly Father. This morning the Lord spoke to me, and I don't just preach so other people can get straightened out, learn what I know. I preach out of my personal walk and my personal experience with the Lord, my personal time of growing in Him and in the knowledge of Him. And I don't have time to go into my growing up life, but I can tell you this, that the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, is not like our earthly fathers. They're flesh and bone, just human beings with human fallacies and failures. Some are better than others in the way they take care of their children, and some never quite understand the need of their children. But the Heavenly Father, you can't put Him on that level. You got to put Him on the other level. He's divine. He's a God who loved you and I so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And I don't believe that we can ever do what God challenged us to do this morning, and that is cast our cares on Him, unless we understand Him as a Heavenly Father. I don't think you can just do that as some wild act of faith where you just come to a place sometime, I'm going to stand on the Word, I'm going to do this thing. That's a good attitude to have, but I don't think it will work. I think it comes as we begin to see Him and sense Him as our Heavenly Father, and not think of earthly fathers who may have failed us growing up or even now, but think of Him beyond that as the perfect, precious, powerful, but all-loving Heavenly Father. And that's kind of our theme tonight is not just casting our care on Him, but learning of the Father and His love so that we can do it just like second nature. It's not something we have to work at. It's something we bring our burdens to Him. We bring our life before Him. We bring ourselves and our need for acceptance and love, and we find it in our Heavenly Father. Some people look for that in other people too much, and we need to be loving kind to one another, but no one in this room, no matter how loving and kind they can be to you, could ever replace your Heavenly Father's love in your life. And the wonderful thing about having His love in your life is that you're not over dependent on other people for that love, and when you're not, then you don't put such pressure on them to fulfill you and make you happy. You can, and in fact, you can quit just trying to get from others and start giving to others. God is so good tonight. And I just believe He's going to show us something real special in our hearts and lives in just a few minutes here before we pray this evening. We're going to begin by worshiping our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Taylor, would you come tonight? We do welcome you. And I kid you when you don't get mad at me for kidding you. Because, see, I'm giving Dinner a well-earned break tonight. Amen. And now she's going to pout because I'm not doing it to her. I can see right now. She's so used to it. She said, what's wrong with Brother Venable? He hasn't told some story and looked at me in a couple of Sundays here. But we love you, Dinner. We love all of you here tonight. I call you before the Lord in this congregation. I want you to know that, because I want you to know that somebody is personally praying for you. I don't pray for myself. I don't pray for my family or my children till last. I bring you first before God, because that's how He led me to do it. Because I am absolutely convinced if I pray for you and your family, your needs, that God is going to take care of me and my family and my needs when I do pray, because it won't be a selfish prayer. When you pray for others, You are sowing the very seeds of your own needs being met, saith the Lord. When you have compassion on others, my love will flow to you and to yours, saith God. When you pray selfishly, I cannot answer you. But when you pray selflessly, it opens the door for all of my blessings, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Amen and amen. He's here tonight to bless you. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your great love, your mercy, your kindness, Lord. We come into your presence tonight, Lord. You are Father, and we're your children, Lord. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. God, stir your people tonight. God, help us to look to thee, Lord God, and to trust you fully, for you're fully able to do all things, Lord. And surely, Lord God, you're reaching out to us to meet our needs, God. So help us to reach out to you, Lord, trusting you fully, doing the will of God from the heart. God, move by thy Spirit tonight. Have your way in this service, Lord. God, take complete control of this service. Move, deliver, heal, set free, Lord God. For any unsaved, save them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, God, and add souls to the church daily, such as should be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you back. We love you back for first loving us. Herein is love, the scripture said. Not that you loved God, but that God loved you. Amen. He's the initiator. He's the one that started this thing in us to love him back. We didn't love him. We didn't choose him initially. We didn't. None of us chose him initially. He chose us. And he came to draw us to himself. And the whole idea of loving God with everything we are and everything we have, like the Bible said we should love him, it's commanded. It is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord. And no one loves him because we're commanded to. The scripture said that he not only sets that high standard for us, but then he gives us the incentive to fulfill it. We love him because he first loved us. And I have preached all of those scriptures about how devoted we should be out of love for the Lord. And I found the only thing I can do to try to solicit that love in his behalf, from my heart and from your heart, is to try to show you in scripture what a good God, gracious God, loving God, self-sacrificing God. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine for? Amen? If you see him the way he wants you to see him, you can't help but love him the way he wants you to love him. It's just reciprocal love. Say that with me, reciprocal love. It's just loving him back for loving us so very much. So let's pour that love on him tonight in this song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If God can melt me, boy, he can easily mold me. If he can melt my heart with his love, I become real soft and pliable in his hands. I don't want my own way. I begin to want and desire his will. Amen. And it's an amazing thing when you pray according to the will of God and not just to get your way. How many has ever seen a child that if they didn't get their way, there's a high-pitched scream that doesn't make you want to hug them or comfort them? There's a scream of defiance, a scream of, give me what I want, I'm going to throw the worst tantrum you've ever heard. If you ever heard it in Walmart or the grocery store, you heard that scream that curdles your blood. You watch everybody scream. And you know some kid didn't get what they wanted and they're throwing a tantrum. And it doesn't make you want to love them. It just, you know. But there's another kind of cry. And mothers can, especially moms, can distinguish that spoiled, rotten cry and that I'm hurt and I'm in need cry. And when that cry comes, then it brings compassion and makes you want to run to see if you can help. And God knows the difference when we pray according to get our way. Even if we cry out, he's impervious to that. But when he hears the cry of our brokenness and our need and our sincerity, then he runs to us. He comes to us. He's such a wonderful Father. Let's sing to him this song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just before we go to the video that we have, I want to just bring you something from the Word of God that's so short, but so very, very significant. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 for just a moment to set a theme for where we're headed here tonight. Actually, this is an extenuation of this morning's service. How many were here this morning? Did God challenge you at all to trust in Him, to achieve His peace? And did you get the message that in order for God to give you His peace, like He promised, that you've got to give Him your pressures, your pains, and your burdens? In order for God to give you His peace, you've got to give Him, trust Him with your pressures, your pain, your problems. You've got to do that. If you don't do that, He can't possibly give you His peace. It's impossible for Him to communicate His peace to you if you refuse to give Him the things that are troubling you. That's why the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting, am I at the right place? Casting your care upon the Lord, because He cares for you. It's not just a command, it's something you do in response to a growing knowledge of His great love for you. Casting your care upon the Lord, because He cares for you. I love the Amplified of that, because it makes it a little more clear of just how far we're to go in this area of trusting Him with all of the pressures and problems and pains and heartaches and heartbreaks that life will certainly bring at some point or the other. Casting your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all, upon Him. For He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. He's not just this God who is meticulous and He sees everything with His all-seeing eye. He's a God who loves ridiculously. I'm serious. Nobody loves like He loves. Nobody goes to the extreme that He went to show that love. That He would take on flesh. The second person of the Godhead, Jesus, wasn't, you know, just formed in that womb. Jesus existed from day one of our existence as human beings on this planet. He's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And the Bible said there was nothing made that He did not participate in the creation of. He said, I and my Father are one. We're one in our works. The works that I do are not just mine, but what I see my Father do. He was there at creation. God didn't say, I'm going to create the earth and the universe. He said, let us make man in our image. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful God that He would condescend to come down. No man could offer sinless blood, but He came down to do that. And He did it for you and He did it for me. And the Bible said He commended His love to us. And that's why I called it ridiculous. Because why would He love people that initially were totally undeserving of that kind of love? And He picked a people to show that love to by covenant that were not lovable people. He picked ancient Israel. And He said, I didn't choose you because you were greater in number. And then on another occasion, He said in so many words, I didn't choose you because you were so lovable either. Was it your greatness or your graciousness that caused me to love you? He said, because thou art a stiff-necked people. You're hard-headed, you're hard-hearted. And I want to show you something about my love. Amen. I want to show you how tenacious it is. And when I love by covenant, He said, I didn't love you because you're greater in number and you're so sweet. He said, I love you because I set my love upon you that I might keep the covenant that I made with Abraham thy father. Can you say amen? Covenant love is not this emotional stuff. You've had people that, oh, I love you, until you fail them in some way, and then they don't even like you anymore. Yeah, amen? They fall out just as quick as they fall in. But God's love is different. It's on a different level. He's divine. Amen. When he sets his love, he says, you can do anything you want. I can't bless you if you go out from under my covering. But if you come back, I can restore everything that you've lost because of your disobedience. And I will restore it. Return to me, I will return to you. Casting your care on him is so vital to him giving you his peace, because he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. He can't do that unless we cast our cares, the whole of our anxieties, once and for all on him, because he's commanded us to. No, because we know something about it. He cares for us and watches over us affectionately. That's why Jesus kept saying over and over and over again, heretofore you have asked who? The force in the universe. This indistinguishable force of creative power. No. Heretofore you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask who? The Father, that you might receive. From who? The Father. For the Father himself loveth you. Wow. The Father himself loveth you. In fact, Jesus prayed to the Father in our behalf, all of us that would come to believe on him, in John's Gospel, chapter 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer for us. What we call the Lord's Prayer is the prayer we're supposed to pray. But the prayer he prayed before he left this earth to ascend to the Father and to await for the time of his coming is in John 17. And this is what he prayed. He said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me, and we're one in each other. I pray for them that shall believe on me. Amen. That they may be one in us, just like I'm in you and you're in me. Can you say amen? And he said, Father, and this is what blows me away to this very day. It's ridiculous love, in the sense that we don't deserve that kind of love, and no one in the whole universe could love like our Father God loves. He said, Father, I pray that you would love them, each and every one of them, as you have loved me. You know what that means? That elevates us into a place in the Father's heart that we can never attain to in our human imperfections. Only Jesus in his perfection should hold that place. Does that make sense to you? Do you know how ridiculous it is that God would love me and you like he loves his son? I can see right now that we understand that's what the Bible says right here. We're like bobbleheads. Yes, I know it says it. But right here. Everybody say right here. Oh, I don't believe I can communicate this to you. I don't believe you can read it in Scripture just because it's on the page of Holy Writ and it be communicated. I believe the Holy Spirit himself has to communicate. And you know what the Bible said he wants to do? Everybody say liver shiver. He don't want to give you just a liver shiver. He wants to communicate something about the Father to you. And the love of God is what? Shed abroad. This is something I didn't learn in Pentecost. We were after power. Power. We were all power. 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 Everything was power instead of person and presence. Even the presence of God was always associated with the power of God and not necessarily the love of God. And the Bible said if you want to get on a foundation that will not shake when the storms come, it's got to be not just the power of God, but the person of God himself. God, Jesus wanted us to know the Father. And he said, I want you to love them. How ridiculous is that? I want you to love them. Yes, I chose the right word. To love them with the same love with you have loved me. I understand perfectly why God loved Christ so much. He's perfect in every way. He never sinned one time. But when it comes to you and me, how can he love like that? And yet he does. I've seen I am. Did I give that to you? And we'll move quickly into a testimony. Praise the Lord. I want you to feel that tonight. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will come. I want you to see your Heavenly Father tonight. Because if you ever see him, and I ever see him as he is, amen, I can easily cast my care, the whole of my anxiety on him, because I don't doubt for 1 minute that he cares for me. Everybody here tonight is feeling the pressure of performance. I've got to do better than I'm doing. That's good. We should do our best for Christ. But don't think that your performance will cause him to love you more than he loves you right now, right where you are. Even if you're in a deep valley, amen, he loves you. Even if you're not standing in the faith that he has called you to, he loves you anyway tonight. And I want you to see him. Jesus said, you know what they said? They said, Jesus, we see you talk to him. We see you lean on him, look to him. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. It'll suffice us. Show us the Father. He said, have you been with me this long and you haven't seen the Father yet? When you've truly seen me, you've seen the Father. If the God of the universe, see, I used to think they were two separate individuals. I thought Jesus is the kind, loving, forgiving one. And the Father, he's the disciplinarian. He's just up there waiting to get you if you do something wrong. And there is chastisement, but listen to me. He said, I and my Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want you to see I am tonight. Play that song, if you will, in preparation.
Face to face. she is. Walking through the walls, I've seen I am. Now I know that I am loved.
Tonight, we can't just do it because we need it done, and we can't just do it because he tells us to do it. We got to do it because we discover how much he loves us, and we respond by saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you with all of these hurts and all of these cares. How many's ever heard of Chandra Pierce? She's a Christian comedian, and she's from Tennessee. She's a pastor's kid, and to see her performing on a stage where she's making people smile and laugh with her homespun, down-home humor, you would think that Chandra Pierce is just this bubbly person that never had to go through a journey of discovery to be able to give everything to the Lord in her life. But I'd like you to hear just a testimony tonight before we pray. There are people in here that desperately need this embrace of God in your life. That peace won't come until you can sense that from him. And I believe he's very near tonight to give you that. I don't know what kind of daddy you had, but I want to tell you, your heavenly father, your Abba father, he's different than the best daddy in all of the world. Amen. My daddy, I'll just tell you this real quick. I'm not going into great detail tonight. My dad had a nervous breakdown when I was 12 years old, a complete nervous breakdown. We had to hospitalize him. They wanted to give him shock treatments. The only thing they knew to do for someone as deep into nervous breakdown as he was, my mother refused to sign the papers. She was afraid it would make him a vegetable or have permanent damage. And God brought him through that. But when he came through that, from when I was 12 years old, I remember him holding his hand under a scalding hot, way too hot, hot water faucet. And he couldn't take it out. He's froze there. It blistered this high of scalding blisters on his hand. I remember they wouldn't let me in the hospital to go up and see him. And I remember him waving that bound up hand at me. And at 12 years old, he got these crazy ideas. I was just 12. My mom and dad had divorced. He went through this nervous breakdown, and he buried his teeth in the backyard. He had false teeth from the time he was very young. He buried them in the backyard and said God was going to grow him new teeth. And I had to go dig them up and tell him, no, Dad, you can't just demand that God grow you new teeth when you got good ones buried out back. Can you say, man? I'm teaching my dad at 12 years old. And I remember sitting on the back steps, holding his hand, and praying for my daddy to have peace at 12 years of age. And I've never quit. I hold his hand right now and pray for him to have that same peace. So I didn't have that lion for a father. He loved, but he couldn't take care of me because he couldn't even take care of himself or my mother. And so when I came to Jesus, I didn't have that father figure to relate to the heavenly father, that perfect father figure. Amen. And many of you didn't either. But I want you to know something. Your heavenly father, you need to separate your earthly experience from your heavenly father. God wants you to know him enough to trust him and to love him back and to know that he loves you and you can trust him with everything. Chandra Pierce has a testimony. There are events in her family that is enough to devastate anybody's faith. And yet she held on because she made a discovery about her heavenly father. So listen, she'll be our guest for just a few minutes tonight. Praise God. Are you glad we're going in this direction? Are you interested?
Can I share with you a day in Charlotta's life? Maybe the day when a little something like this. I think it was about 6 o'clock in the morning when her alarm went off. Since she was 20, it took her about 6:25 to get out of bed. I think that was the year they invented snooze control. And sis, tossed and turned, and finally the hour was near, and she crawled out of bed. By about 6:30, she was in the shower, getting her hair done, getting ready for her day. She worked at a department store here in downtown Nashville, and she had a busy day ahead of her because she was the youth choir leader, and they were putting on a big production that night. She gave us all of our last-minute instructions. By about a quarter till 7, Charlotta was taking that last bite of toast and kissing us goodbye as she grabbed her glass of milk on the way out the door. By about 5 minutes till 7, I think she was in her car and heading down the road. About 10 minutes after 7, she had made it down the windy road from a little town called Ashland City into the outskirts of Nashville, Tennessee, and she came around the curve. I heard that it was just a little after 7:15 that her car hydroplaned into the path of an oncoming vehicle. And by about 7:18 in the morning, she looked God in the face. Like that, she was gone. I wondered in those last few seconds of her life, was there anything on the soapbox that was just getting on her last nerve? Was there stuff coming out of the TV that had molded her life in such a way that she was so aggravated about how things were going to turn out? Do you think in the last few seconds of her life she was concerned with that hairdo? And I don't think so. I think in those last few seconds of her life, the only thing that mattered was the relationship with the man she saw face. And all that other stuff was just stuff. I know another girl. Her name was Cheryl, and my little sister. There was many years where she truly was my best friend. Cheryl was 15. The day in her life, went a little something like this. She was energetic, cheerleader. She was singing and dancing in a school play one night, and the next day, too sick to get out of bed. Every 24 hours that went by, she just didn't get any better. So after antibiotics didn't do its thing and doctors began to run some tests, they finally discovered that Cheryl had leukemia. She had it real bad. And here in Nashville, Tennessee, at a place called Baptist Hospital, we spent the last few days with her. 21 days. And then she died. I miss her still. Do you think in those 21 days we had a lot of hours to talk about the aggravations of our past? Do you think in those 21 days we talked endlessly about those stupid shows on TV? Do you think in those final hours we unloaded on one another all the aggravations that life seems to bring our way in the traffic jam on the way into the hospital? None of it mattered. The only thing that mattered was the relationship with the one she was going to see face to face. Many of you who know my story probably have read a few books. You've heard by now that probably the ongoing struggle of understanding life is probably in the relationship of my dad. I was 17 when my father drove off out of the parking lot of our church. He had finished marrying my brother and my sister-in-law, and when the ceremony was over, he packed all of his belongings and left. And he never came back. the difficult thing for me and trying to figure out who God is as a father. It's been tough when there hasn't been a father around. You know, and I don't want to put any pressure on you men, but can I explain to you that that's why God's relationship is so incredibly made an example through fatherhood? You see, when your dad is the pastor and your spiritual leader, it sometimes gets very difficult to not think that that must be how God is. That when things get really, really tough, he might leave. Or when times are really difficult, or I've got something on my heart, or the day is just going wrong. How do you learn to unload that on a heavenly father when it's been a long time since your earthly father listened? An incredible thing happened to me not long ago. I went through a time called emotional healing prayer. Prayed for 7.5 hours straight without sleeping. I didn't think I could do anything for 7.5 hours without sleeping. Went through the very beginnings of all that I know about my ancestry, all the way to present day. Talked it all out with God. It was great. This sweet prayer warrior friend of mine, we unloaded. We just let it all out. It was great. You know what I found out? That my earthly father and my heavenly father are nothing alike. You know who that let off the hook? My daddy. He's flesh and bones. No more and no less than any person sitting in this room. You know what the greatest thing that was? Was to find out that my heavenly father was divine. He never leaves. Never forsakes. He listens intently about the silliest things in my life. He loves me so unconditionally I cannot them. At the end of our prayer, we sat there arm in arm, and this sweet, sweet sister said, "Now I want you to pray one final prayer." And we closed our eyes. And as we closed our eyes, she said, "Do you see that infant? That baby?" She said, "She's got dimples. Maybe an angel put a finger there and there. And her hair's all mussed up a little bit. And she's got blue eyes. Do you see that baby?" I said, "Yeah, I guess I do." She said, "That sweet little baby is being rocked. There's a strong hand under her head. Do you feel that strong hand?" I said, "Yeah, I think I feel it." She said, "Then your father leaned over and kissed you on the cheek. And then he placed you in your mother's womb. That was your Abba Daddy, who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And before the world and all the stuff got a hold of you, he was your daddy. And he loves you still, no matter what the circumstance of life has brought. God loves you. And you can take all this stuff and cast it at his feet, because he cares for you. That's how much he loves you."
I want you to stand with me tonight before we go anywhere else in this service. We all know the scriptures. Cast your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. In all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and keep your mind through Jesus Christ. We know what He has called us to do. But until you know Him, until you know Him enough to trust Him, until you come to the place of faith, not just to give Him your problems, but to accept His unconditional love for you, you will never be able to take those people, those circumstances, those hurts, and give them to God. But the day you begin to discover the Father and His love for you, you can cast all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon Him, because He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. And I'm just going to pray tonight. You see, the cares of this life and other things entering in will choke the Word and cause it to be unfruitful in our hearts and in our lives. That's why the Bible said, cast your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Somebody here tonight is going to roll that over onto Him. I know you're going to do it because He's calling you. And He's not just calling you, He's revealing Himself to you tonight. When it says to cast your burden on the Lord, I looked up that word cast, and it isn't to throw like a football or basketball or baseball. It isn't just to throw it out there to God. Because God is way up there, I'm down here, I'm just going to throw that burden up to Him. No, no. You have to acknowledge where He is in relation to you. He's right by us. He's our refuge, our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And that word cast means to roll over onto another. To roll something off of you onto someone who is right by your side at that very moment. God loves you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, that's why you're a Christian, with loving kindness, He's drawn you to Himself and to His Son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray for healing tonight. For people who can't relate to God the way you need to relate to Him, to cast your burdens on Him. You want to go out from under that, because that stress and that pressure will break down not only your body and your mind and your emotions, but it'll begin to operate against your very spiritual strength, will begin to drain out of you. And God wants to restore and to His people and to His children, everything that living in a fallen world, in a faulty body, has stripped you of. I believe God is going to raise up people with a new strength, with a fresh anointing, not just of power, but of His presence in our hearts and in our lives. And I believe we need to pray for ourselves tonight. This night is not just intercessory initially for other people. It's that we can come into that kind of relationship, that we can have that kind of relationship with God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that I will never, ever lose sight of You tonight, of Your greatness and not only Your power, but Your person and Your love tonight. Help me to cast my cares on You. Help me not to labor under them. Jesus, You're the one that said, "You that labor and are heavy laden, come to Me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul." Father, we've come to learn of you tonight. Jesus is the one that came to show us the Father and to teach us about you tonight. And Father, what we're learning about you helps us to cast our cares upon you, to give our all to you and trust you with it, and come out from under the pressure and the pain of all the heartache and the heartbreak that life can bring. Father, there are people in here that have indelible stains and cuts in their life, Lord, where hurt has come and stayed as a part of their life. Lord, we come to you to be set free from that tonight. We come to you to be delivered from that. We come to you to no more blame that on why we can't go forward and find your will and purpose in our life. We come to come out of that prison house of pain and hurt and anger and anxiety We come in the name of Jesus Christ. It's time to let it go. I've been pastoring for over 40 years. And we'll tell you, I know people that are blaming their past and even their present on why they are the way they are. They refuse to let God take that away, to let God have that. Hallelujah. You're more than what you are on the outside. That's not what gives you worth and value tonight. Oh, you're so precious to the Lord tonight. If God is calling anyone in this room to come closer to Him, just lift your hand. Let Him see it right now. Let Him see it. I know this is a time of deep pondering of our true relationship with the Lord. It's got to go beyond just biblical. It's got to go beyond just ritual. It's got to get into a real, genuine relationship. My whole life, I had to be a strength to my dad. My dad was never could be a strength to me because it wasn't in him to do it, and it isn't to this day. I went to pray for him last night, and it was the last thing I did, and the pressure was on me all day yesterday, and that was the last thing, and dad was telling me all of his problems, and I said, Dad, I'm going to pray for you, but I've had some problems too, and he looked at me, and I began to pray for him to give him comfort. And he stopped and he said, Lord, and bless my son. He needs it more than me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just said, oh, Lord, thank you. 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 But Lord, if I never heard that in my whole life, I've got a Heavenly Father that when I hurt and when I'm tired and when I'm weak, He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. I don't have to be strong for Him to love me. I don't have to be strong for His sake. Amen. He loves me. He loves me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when I feel that love and I sense that love, it is so easy to roll my burden over onto Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I've been real forthright with you and candid about all of this. I would not have been here this morning. I could not have been here this morning if I couldn't roll my burden over onto the Lord. Somewhere between last night and this morning, it occurred. Hallelujah. Praise God. It occurred. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm tonight. There's hope for you tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to come out of something that has held you back your whole Christian life. Hallelujah. But you're on a journey right now. God is pulling you forward. He's wooing you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to stand stronger, not in your strength, but in His love. And in confidence in His faithfulness than you have ever dreamed. Because you're learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than you've ever dreamed. You're learning to lean on Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Just give it to Him one more time. Just love Him one more time tonight. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you so much, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name. Can you wipe that off really good? It needs wiping off. Let's just praise Him tonight. Are you glad where the Lord is taking us as a church? How many has ever failed God on any level? I'm not talking about digging into your personal life. I'm talking about some level that you know you failed God and you just felt like he was done with you. He until you can prove to him that you can do better, then you can't really have that close, caring relationship. You can't give him the burdens because you can't imagine that he could love you ridiculously like that. Are you feeling a little different tonight? That you could actually right here in this service say, Lord, I'm sorry for the failures. And I'm sorry for the things I messed up in. But Lord, I love you. In my heart of hearts and soul of souls, I do love you. And I know that you love me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Because you won't give up on me, I'll never give up on you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise before we leave this room tonight. Pray for other people. Pray for others this week. But let's get this in our heart so we can have the peace that we need to pray for others. Hallelujah. Jesus saves you and me still. He delivers you and me today. Hallelujah. Not just once, but in every circumstance of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know it, sing it with us tonight.
Jesus saves, and the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the hosts of angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
That's why he came. Jesus saves. To rescue you tonight. In spite of our sin, in spite of our adversary, Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, holy, 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 holy
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So when I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubt that my God somehow, Sister Dale, some way, he's going to take care of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift him up. You can leave when you're ready, but I just feel like worshiping another holy moment.